Are you ready for the weekend yet? We have events, news, and a guest for you to enjoy this Lake Life weekend. Hello and welcome to another episode of Lake Life Weekend Podcast. I'm Dirk, I'm your host, and this is already weekend 38 approaching. It has been wonderful last weekend. It was surprisingly hot, 80 degrees, not Celsius, Fahrenheit, and I even considered to go swimming last Sunday. I did not do it, but it was so nice. I spent a lot of time outside, and that was good nevertheless. Thank you for tuning in. Again, all events and news in the area on our website, lakelifeweekend.com. Today we have an inventor as a guest. His name is Jason Crummy, and he has a fish handling device that he invented and holds a US patent. So later about his story in our interview part. Unfortunately, it got a little colder and it looks like lots of rain in Lakes Country. I hope you find some indoor activities. There is always something going on. You can also check out the local museums. We have the Becker and the Ottertail County museums, which are actually really, really a hidden treasure. I have been to the one in Fergus Falls, again with Harry, one of those past weeks, and it is really a beautiful exhibit. I actually went there with my mom when she was here in the summer too, and I wish that every family or actually every class in school would go there. So if you feel like a rainy day and you don't know what to do, this is definitely worth a trip, in my opinion. Yeah, there's much more coming up this fall, especially road trips. Maybe you saw some of the pictures that I posted. Now out on the shelves is also our Lake Life Weekend magazine, just published, printed last week, so you will be able to pick that up soon. And I have a really nice road trip that I read last time, I guess, in there, and there's some more stories. So yeah, feel free to pick that up too. Yeah, I don't want to keep this much longer. This interview was really interesting, and I hope you enjoy it. You have a good weekend ahead. Welcome to our interview part. I'm here with Jason Crummy from Minnesota. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Dirk.
Thank you for coming out to our recording studio here in Perham. And before we talk about your invention and your product, some background. I met you in Barnesville during Potato Days. You had a little booth out there, and we were actually neighboring with our booths, and I looked at your jig stick, and you told me your story, and I thought it was really interesting. I wanted to record your how you came up with that idea. But before we talk jig stick and fishing and how it all happened, I would like to learn a little bit about yourself and about your invention, all the other inventions. Yeah, who is Jason?
Well, thanks a lot for having me. First of all, this is fantastic, and this is going to be a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Who am I? I'm a guy from Minnesota.
Yeah.
I was raised in Argyle, Minnesota on a farm. Hands-on kind of guy. I was the guy working on the farm, on the machinery, welding, making little things, little knickknacks, little things for myself, little toys and invention back then. So as far as my invention goes, it all stems from kind of like my childhood and the hands-on actually working on stuff on
yeah.
the farm. So yeah.
Is it many generation farm?
No, it was actually from just my dad and his brothers started this.
Okay.
Back in the day, yeah.
So. But you decided not to become a farmer.
I just, you know, I it was fun at the time when I was younger, hard work and all that. You know, I appreciated it. I just didn't want to, I had to move on and go to the city and figure out what's going on out here and with this and that. I was too adventurous. I appreciated the farm, love everything about it, love returning to farms and that farm. But I needed to spread my wings, I guess. And
did you go to university in the Twin Cities then?
I actually went to broadcasting school at the tech school in Thief River.
Okay.
KSRQ back then. That was under Howard Rocky, a really great broadcaster from back. He went to Brown Institute and so forth. But so I actually got a degree in broadcasting.
Okay.
And I started working in radio.
I see.
Because I was always a creative type guy in many facets, not just the physical, you know, but also, you know, just thinking of funny bits and different things like that and entertaining and yeah.
So you do not have an engineering background?
I do not.
Other than hands-on?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Yep. And inventing things, I mean, that's kind of the dream of, like, when you think of it, inventing. You actually hold a patent with what you did.
Yes, I have a full U.S. patent on the Jig Stick.
Yeah.
That's right.
And that is fascinating. I mean, like, I don't know. That's off your bucket list, I would say.
Yes, and that good way to put it. Yes, off the bucket list. So, yeah, that's just one of the things when I really decided I really wanted to sell this thing. Mm-hmm. And when it got down to the nitty-gritty at the end, yes, then it's like, okay, you start thinking of the steps you really got to take for, you know, the financial and the you know, to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, so I started going for a patent, you know, mm-hmm. back then, so...
So before you tell us a little bit more, you're a musician, a hobby musician?
Yes, I'm a guitar player.
Okay.
I like to sing as well, but guitar player and heavy metal.
You have a band, right?
Yes, I'm in two heavy metal bands.
Wow.
In fact, yeah, Nine Eyes and Habitual.
Okay.
Is my most recent band. So yes,
love it. Diverse background, creative.
Yeah, just a creative type person, you know, and music's always been there since I was a little kid, too. Me and a friend of mine, we used to sing and, like, you know, bang on the walls when we were tenting and, like, make up when we were camping in the tent and make up songs. And so it's just always since I was little, and I started playing acoustic, my sister's acoustic guitar when I got a little older. And so just always kind of coming up with things. Yeah. I love to create.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and all merged now into a full-size product. Let's see, so Lake Life, you mentioned tenting, and you invented a fishing device. So what's your relationship to Lake Life then? You're a Minnesotan, so did you always go to the lake as a child?
Well, no, I wasn't even, well, we did go to my aunt's. We grew up in Argyle, Minnesota, so not many lakes around there.
Where is that?
Argyle, it's about 2 hours from here, from Fargo. If you go, I live in Moorhead, so if you take Highway 75, you're about 2 hours north.
And you
get to, yeah, you go through Crookston, and then,
yeah,
you know, you got Warren, Minnesota around there. A lot of people know Warren.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know that one. But so then you got Argyle and Stevens. So just small town, population 800, not really a lot of lakes. My dad really wasn't a fisherman. He has fished before. My first experience was he took me to this gravel pit that's about 3-4 miles down the road, a man-made gravel pit, river ran through it, and had these northerns in there. And he, which seemed like a mile when you're a kid, he'd cast these daredevils out. And he showed me that. And then we didn't even catch a fish, but he just showed me how to do that. Well, then I would take my three-wheeler down there, and I started catching these big northerns, one after the other. Then I started making my own daredevils. Now, this is where the inventing comes in. My mom gave me a big box of spoons. I would grind the handle off, paint them, drill the holes, put the treble hook on. I was just a little kid doing this, and I had all these different designs, and I caught some awesome northerns on my own. And that gave me a taste of when you can create your own thing, and then actually it works, and I would catch northerns using that homemade daredevil. It just sunk in my head at a young age, like, wow, that's cool. I can make that, and that worked for me, and that's mine.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, it's off someone else's idea, of course, but it's my own. I built that. So, So that's where my first fishing started coming. When I was a kid catching, and I caught a 10-pound northern in this gravel pit. And I come home in the back of the three-wheeler, my dad pulls in the tractor. I knew you'd catch a big one, you know. And so, but then we all would also go once a year to my aunt's lake cabin in Botno, North Dakota, on Lake Minnegosia. And so every year I have fond memories, and I would just love being there, you know. But we didn't have that, so to speak, growing up. But in my older life here in Moorhead, I ended up getting a boat and started fishing on my own on these lakes. So,
sure.
Yeah, that's so, kind of the long, short story.
Yeah, no. So you have a strong connection to and childhood memories of fishing, and especially northern. And and I think that's also how you arrived at the Jig Stick. But tell me, you have a little shop at your house in Moorhead now. Like, so is it a hobby to just invent stuff? Is it kind of like your yoga? You go in your little studio and
it's
think
my
of
mad scientist laboratory. Let's get the name right.
You have a sign there?
I don't, but you know what? I'm going to make one now of that.
Yeah.
I like that. I do have a sign hanging up in it that says it's the idea. Money doesn't start the idea. The idea can start the money.
Mm-hmm.
So I just hung that up thinking, hey, you know, since I've been doing the Jig Stick and whatnot. But no, it's just a little tiny corner in my house, and it's into this nothing special, but I got everything organized, everything I need there. And that's where I go down and I'll do a prototype or start working on stuff. And it's just a relaxing thing to me. And
it's like a workbench. And
it's just a workbench and some tools and a few shelves below this and that hanging on the wall. I got everything within reach. and I can just kind of go at it, and you know, that's where the jig stick was born.
Yeah, and then how does that happen? Like you're sitting somewhere, the light bulb goes on, and you sketch something down, or like how was the process of inventing something? How did that happen?
Well, the jig stick's not my first invention. You know, when I was younger, I would come up with things, and I've had other things. But
tell us about any of them.
See, I never used to do this, so this is a bad example, but it's just all starts with a thought, of course. And it doesn't matter where you are sometimes. Maybe you're at the grocery store and you think, you know, if a thing was on that boat fender, you know, the fender on the truck for the boat, or say you just think of something real quick. Uh-huh. I used to do this happen my whole life. I'd think of these things, and then every once in a while I'd remember one and actually physically start working on it. But now, ever since I'm doing the jig stick and some other inventions I got now, I start writing everything down now. I'm really like precise about that now. As soon as I get a thought, and I have these little notepads in my workshop, and I'll run down there and I'll draw a little picture. I'll do that just so I know the idea, and then I have that. And I've went through that and I've completely forgot about these ideas. Then you're going through all of them. They're like, oh yeah, that's right. That's I was just gonna give away a secret there. I shouldn't say that one. But it's fun to go look back at all these, and then some of them I've went for, and some of them they just stay in the little notepad, right? So, yeah. But it's the same thing with music. And I would imagine you have an idea for a painting or any kind of artistic thing at all, is that you have to remember it. Jot with music, there's several little recorders musicians got available on the market now. You know, a little thing in your hand, or record it on your phone, or just record it, the guitar riff. You got it for later.
Sure.
It can just be gone in the ether, just like that, you mm-hmm. know? So that's my biggest fear, is like, then it's gone. The idea is gone.
If you forget.
Yeah, if you don't write it down, if you don't record it, yes.
Yeah, I do similar things. I travel a lot, and for some reason in the airplane or in the airports, I just have, maybe I have, I'm stimulated by all the advertisements, or I don't know, but I have a lot of ideas, and I have an ongoing list in my phone where I always add to mm-hmm. things.
Sure.
And then when I go through, I see like, oh, yeah, right, that's, oh, I thought of that before. It's like funny. Sometimes I catch myself that I had thought twice and I thought it was new. But yeah, so you have little notepads and you also have it handy with you at all times, or you do it in your phone?
Well, at work, I've jotted stuff down to save it in your notes in your phone or
yes,
whatnot.
Exactly.
Yes, you got it there and look at it later. And, you know, I still prefer actually writing something down with a pen or a pencil, though. I don't know what it is. It's just that physical thing of it's written down, you know. And
I know. Like there's no electric collapse that would destroy that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
No, I agree. So, So how many inventions did you have? Did you actually, where you made prototypes, let's say? How many prototypes did you build?
Well, currently I probably have about 8, mm-hmm. I would say, if I could just think off the top of my head at home right now, just different little things I've made. Some I just use, I don't even think about, I'm going to sell them or something, I just have it. So it's in my boat, it's here, it's there, you know, and yeah. But I've created, like I said, since I was a kid, I have had a lot of other little things, you know, when I was on the farm and whatnot, and
mm-hmm.
this and that and after. And so, yeah.
So the jig stick is a fishing device. And tell us the story. What happened to you that you came up with the jig stick?
Well, it was a day I was out ice fishing by myself, and this was many years ago, and I had just gotten back into really fishing kind of hardcore, like, oh man, I'm really getting back into this, and I knew I was just gonna keep doing it year after year. So I was really into it, and I had my first year with my own ice fishing house, you know, I went and bought one, fished with my friend neighbor a couple times, he got me into it, and then I went and go bought my own, right? And I'm sitting there and I catch a big northern. I'm excited, I get it up out of the hole, I was like, man, I grab it. And, you know, in the frenzy of when you're fishing, you just grab and you just do it, right? You grab it, pull it up, and, you know, his gill plate sliced my hand open a little bit, got a little bit of cut. And, of course, the slime from a northern is just tremendous. And it's just, it doesn't matter how many times you wash your hands after that. That is on your hands to stay for the day. So I'm cut, slimed up. You know, this is probably 10 minutes after I release that fish. I'm sitting there thinking, looking at my cut. You know what I mean? Once the excitement of catching the fish settles down, you're sitting there, and then it just dawned on me, I was like, and I thought about, I should buy something that takes care of that, and I thought, and I started thinking more and more on how to do it, and looked online on my phone quick. There's only, you know, there's really nothing really on the market like the what I wanted to do what this does. And I went home that night and I started brainstorming in my shop. I wrote, first of all, like I said, I jotted down on a little notepad, drew a little picture, and I still have that original jig stick picture. It's just fun to look at. And then I just started doing it, you know, and then, you know, the next night, maybe I get a little piece of material and start shaping that. And then it just started, then it formed, and I had many different versions of the jig stick.
Okay.
You know, as far as length, this, that, different types of angles and whatnot. And this is the settled version that I thought worked the best out of testing all of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a very simple device, in fact, but like,
yes,
the best is the simplest, and like, we don't come up with the simplest ideas, I guess, sometimes.
Simple yet very effective, I always
absolutely
say, with the jig stick. Yep.
So it had many different shapes, and you built and used and came up with the best solution. How long was the process then?
Oh, I suppose, you know, It was a while during the testing, but you know, but when you need to get a patent though, then you want to get down to your final prototype, right? So that was like a couple weeks when I decided, okay, this is where I got to nail it down. Mm-hmm. You know, this one I don't like this and that, and then I just really okay, this is and then go out and use that sucker, and then that's it. That's the right angle. You can release them great with this angle. You can do this and that, and so you know, a few months I suppose, you know, mm-hmm. of having a testing, and then you know, maybe a couple weeks before the patent, you know. But
did you fill out the forms to file a patent yourself? Is that possible, or did you need an patent attorney?
Well, you can, you know, of course, you start doing the research on all these things, and you can do these things yourself with the proper know-how information. How much are you going to go for that? And then be on top of that, you know, everyone's different, their skill levels or whatever they're good at. I decided to just get a patent lawyer that's specified in doing these type of things. This is what he does. He does patents, you know, mm-hmm. because I was kind of diving into a realm. Yeah, I can build stuff like this, but to get a U.S. patent, what do I know, right? So, mm-hmm. and how do I know I'm going to be fully protected? So I just chose, and I'm not putting down any other methods, but I just chose personally for me, I thought that was the correct route for me. And I let him handle the legalities, if you will. So, mm-hmm. yes. And yeah.
Is that really expensive?
It really is, yes.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, it's not cheap. It can vary from product to product. You know, you can go from X amount, which is not too bad, all the way up to, it all just depends on what you got, mm-hmm. you know, and then how available, there again, that's where the lawyer comes into play, because mm-hmm. he can determine these things, and yes. So.
There's a lot of research, I feel, before you can actually, because you got to identify if there is a similar invention.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's a period of, you know, you got to wait, and then they do their searching and this and that, and it's all a process, hurdles, if you will, to get over, you know, and then you find out, okay, well, we can go for a patent on this. And then you move to the next step and the next step. And then finally, I got the email, congratulations, we have the patent.
So
yeah.
It is awesome. Congratulations. I mean, that is really.
Thank you so much.
Off the bucket list, I would say.
Yeah.
Do you hold an international patent too?
It's just a United States patent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I think there's the international patent registration in Milano in Italy or something, and there is something like an international patent too. I'm not so sure.
Well, hopefully someday I can fly there on my JIC plane and we'll fill
just,
it out.
Just registered, yeah, maybe.
So, maybe. Hey.
So explain the JIC stick. How? I mean, it looks like a big code hook upside down in a way. And
well, yeah, and you know,
handle.
Until you hold one in your hand and see it, you know, it's hard to explain the thing over there. But I'll do my best. It's pretty simple. So, well, it's a wood handle, right? You can get both your hands around it. Great grip. And it's got a hook shape with specific type bends to do what it needs to do. You mm-hmm. know, and that's where the patent comes into play too. The metal is powder coated, a high quality powder coat. That's going to prevent it from rust and from just so the thing will last, mm-hmm. you know, for many years. This thing is so durable. Same thing with the eyelet on the end. That's where you can hook your scale on the other end.
Mm-hmm.
So you got your hook end, your business end. That goes in the fish's gill plate out the mouth. And once you got him, you got him. I always tell people, you know, he's on there for good. You can tilt back a little bit. Hook removal is fantastic with this thing to get your hook out.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I was just using the jig stick last night on a 9.5-pound catfish on the Red River.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing that. I was using it for hook removal, handling that big sucker, both hands, and they're flopping around. They're just a beast of a fish. They start getting over 5 pounds. They're so powerful, these catfish. So anyway, yeah. And then like what I really love is the big handle for two hands too. Like we were doing that last night on these bigger fish. Of course, it works on small fish too. Little tiny fish it works great on as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it floats, Dirk.
Yes, it's wood. I see that. No, and it has this little circle in the back here where or bend where you can put the scale.
Yeah, and that's where you got your fish on, and you're handling it, and you put your scale on the other end, you can weigh it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just minus your most jig sticks are about 5 ounces, so they're really light too, lightweight. And you just minus your weight if you're an honest fisherman.
Yeah. You take your. I was actually just thinking about that. But tell me, where are they made?
These are made in Minnesota.
They are?
Yes, right here in Minnesota, locally manufactured. I love that about it.
No, I do. Is that screwed in there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also a high quality glue on each hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll mention the wood handle is seal coated, so it's not going to rot. It's going to be waterproof from the elements.
Yeah, and it's a local product, and it's
yes.
Is there a little factory like?
Yeah, it's just a little factory. They do a few other things too. They do some other fishing products, and it was just a great fit.
Yeah.
For the jig stick.
Love it that it's produced locally.
Absolutely.
So it's a Minnesota, and so you have a couple of versions of it.
That is right. I have my new limited edition version, the Jig Stick Demon. This has a burnt wood handle, so you got the cool burnt look on like that. It's got the red hook, the red eyelet, and you also have flames on the logo. And if I know your radio people can't see, but it's really cool. And this has been going over just fantastic. People just love this version. And I also have two other versions coming out shortly as well. So
when did you start that? How long have you had that product?
I've been on the market for about a half year now.
Oh, only a half year?
Yeah.
So it's actually brand new.
It is brand new, so to speak, yes.
And may I ask how many units were sold?
Well, you know what? We'll just keep the numbers we'll just keep that in the down low for now because, I'm just such a fresh company.
Yeah,
but maybe, you see me on Shark Tank, I suppose I'll have to give up the numbers on there, right?
But they are available not only, I guess, online, but they are in the shops?
Yes, I do have some quality bait shops where you can get this thing. Fargo Bait in Fargo, North Dakota. The Lake Place, Lake Park, Minnesota. Lakeland General Store, Pelican Rapids, Minnesota. Quality Bait and Tackle, Detroit Lakes, Minnesota. Used a Bit Sales and Pawn on Main Avenue in Fargo, North Dakota.
Oh, so you have some distribution already? And is that good feedback? They love it? Was it easy to convince them to take it in the shops?
You know, it really was. I just went around. I made a few phone calls, but I like to show up in person,
Sure.
And I just told them what it does, everything. And most of these bait shop owners are fishermen themselves.
Sure.
They understand everything. And right away, the fishermen get it.
Yeah.
When they see it and look at it, hold it and everything, I start explaining. Sometimes I don't even get halfway through my spiel. And they're like, I understand how this works.
Yeah.
Because it is quite visually, if you're a fisherman, you get it. And it's just, and I've gotten so many compliments too, like, great idea. That is just something that would work great. Yes. So it's not hard to convince them, and just been having great feedback. And I've been doing some trade shows now as well, and just awesome feedback from those people too.
Have you only tried the 6 months is not so pretty much this spring. So you went on market this spring.
That's
so
right.
Do you have a strategy like to go to any other states or like to
I do. I have all kinds of ideas, as people can imagine, of where you want to take something, right? Like how do you want to expand, or how do you want to sell the thing? I just decided I had all these ideas. I decided, I'm just gonna go out and just try, I gotta start somewhere, just try sell this thing myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just go from there. Maybe I'll do some licensing in the future or something like that if someone's interested. But I just figured, hey, I need to get out there. I'd love to do some trade shows and meet people and show them. Nothing like just handing someone one and talking about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And trade shows. And then I have my website, jickstick.com,
mm-hmm.
JICSTICK.com. You can go on there. There's videos, pictures, tells you all about the jig stick. So I basically wanted to focus on those two things, my website sales and doing trade shows for now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other things can just fall in place when they need to or whenever I'm ready or whatnot. So,
yeah. No, I think it's a beautiful story. I love that it's a Minnesota story and absolutely lake life. What is, I don't know, is it fishing? What is your most favorite part about lake life?
Well, for me personally, it is fishing.
It is, huh?
But with that, I will tie in, maybe this is 50-50, right? The beauty of my surroundings when I'm fishing.
Yeah.
I was just talking with my neighbor about this this morning, in fact, before I came here.
Yeah.
We like to drink coffee and talk a little fishing in the mornings. Where you been? Where have I been? Should we go sometime, right? And we talked about, I seen a blue heron last night on the red. I had my spotlight out getting ready to cruise back to the boat launch. And I have a spotlight I've actually plugged into my other device I invented, which is the Jic light. But and a blue heron flew right by the boat, and I shined this. I got the spotlight by him, and I seen him, and I was like, wow, blue heron, they're so cool, right?
Yeah.
So things like that. Just when you're out in nature, it's beautiful.
It is.
A sunset, a sunrise. You got a loon next to your boat cleaning. You see this. You see the darndest things out. I've seen giant snapping turtles, giant otters,
yeah.
Foxes, deer. So I love all that stuff, but of course I love fishing too. So I'm out there in my boat fishing, and I use the Jic stick every time I go fishing. And that's not because I created it. Believe me. I love using the thing.
Yeah. Well, you for sure love fishing and you love lake life. I'm glad. It was really a pleasure to...
May I add something before I forget? Ice fishing.
Yeah.
We didn't really talk about ice fishing.
No.
I just want to throw that in. That's when I invented it. I was ice fishing at the time. Fish comes out of the hole. It is great, especially if you have a really big one on and you're scared your line's going to break and you barely got that sucker up. You get that Jic stick down in the hole and you can reach down and pull them up.
Sure.
So it's just fantastic
so
for that.
It's an extension for, yeah.
Yeah, and if you know, you drop stuff in the hole sometimes, it floats. So if you drop it in the hole, it bobs right back up and it floats. So yeah, so I just wanted to mention ice fishing season's on the way here. So I just wanted to throw
it
that in
coming,
there.
It is coming, for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Fishing is not over.
That's right.
Year round.
It continues.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, I hope people that hear this will contact you. You mentioned jicstick.com and see the product, learn more, and thank you very much, and good luck fishing, and have a wonderful weekend.
Well, I'll end on, gotta fish, Jic it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, this was already our newest episode of the Lake Life Weekend podcast. We sure hope you enjoyed it. Tune in again next week with another great guest and updates. Always check out our website, lakelifeweekend.com. And if you have some comments, please feel free to email us at hello@lakelifeweekend.com. And you have a wonderful weekend ahead.